There are several places where the Buddha compares the practice to looking at yourself in a mirror. From the very beginning, when he teaches Rahula, when Rahula was about 7 years old, he suggests in the same way that you would look into the mirror to reflect on your face, to examine what's there. See if there are any blemishes, any dirt that you have to clean off of it. In the same way, you look at your actions. First, you look at your intentions before you act. What do you expect as a result of this action? If you expect any harm, either to yourself or others, you don't do it. Act only on the intentions where you believe that there will be no harm done. And then while you're doing the action, continue to reflect. What are the actual results that are coming out? Because some of the results come right away. You put your finger in a fire, you don't have to wait till the next lifetime to see the results. It burns right away. If you see that your actions are causing harm, you stop. You don't see any harm, go ahead, continue with it. And then when the action is done, you reflect again, what were the long-term consequences of the action? And if you see that there was any harm done, you go talk it over with someone else who's more advanced on the path, get some ideas about how to avoid that mistake. If you don't see any harm, take joy in the fact that you're progressing in the path, and then continue your training. So the Buddha's getting Rahula started with this principle. You've got to reflect on your actions, whether they're thoughts, words, or deeds. Got to think about the consequences. After all, that's how the Buddha himself got on the right path. He divided his thoughts into two types based on the consequences that were going to lead to. And he could tell that the consequences had a lot to do with the state of mind that was motivating them. So the reflection turns into the mind. And for a lot of us, our mirrors are pretty muddy. In those days, people wouldn't. Sometimes if they couldn't find a mirror, they'd look at the reflection in the water. And the Buddha says, if you have any of what he calls the hindrances in your mind, you're not going to see your mind clearly. This is one of the reasons why we practice concentration, is to get rid of those hindrances. The first one is sensual desire. Sitting here thinking about sensual pleasures, about the food you might want to eat or the other pleasures you might want to have. The Buddha says that's like looking into your reflection in a bowl of water that's been filled with dye, red, green, blue, whatever. You're not going to see yourself as you really are. Your thoughts are colored by your desires. The second hindrance, ill will. You're thinking about how you'd like to see somebody get punished, you'd like to see somebody get theirs. That, he says, is like looking at your reflection in a bowl of water that's boiling. You're not going to see much of anything. The third hindrance, sloth and torpor. You're sitting here and you're feeling kind of drowsy and lazy, and you're drifting off to sleep. You're certainly not going to see your mind clearly. That, he says, is like looking at your reflection in a bowl of water that's got a lot of sludge, algae in it. The fourth hindrance, restlessness and anxiety. It's like looking at your reflection in a bowl of water that the wind is blowing waves, or your reflection gets distorted and it's little bits and pieces here and there. And then finally, doubt. Doubt about the teaching, doubt about your own ability to follow through with it. That's like looking at your reflection in a bowl of water that's in the dark. You won't see much of anything at all. So these are the qualities you've got to get out of your mind. Sometimes in the text they talk about saying, first you get the hindrances out of your mind, and then you feel joyful, you feel at ease, and the mind settles down. Other times it's in the process of getting the mind to settle down that you can fight them off. You give yourself one place to focus, one topic to focus on, like the breath. And any disturbances that come up, anything that would pull you away from the breath, then you recognize, okay, that's going to be a hindrance of some kind. And if you let it take over, you're not going to be able to see your mind clearly. So whatever comes up that pulls you away from the breath, recognize that as something you don't want right now. There will be part of the mind that says, hey, I've got a whole hour here. I can just take 5 minutes, think about what I want, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. And you find, of course, that what is originally planned as a short excursion becomes a long-term trip. Eats up the whole time. And you can tell yourself, I've thought thoughts like this before in the past. What I'm trying to do here is something different. I'm trying to train the mind. Develop some new skills inside. The skill of thinking, I've learned how to think a long time ago. The skill of getting the mind to settle down, that's something different. That's a good skill to have. To keep reminding yourself, you're here to train the mind. And you want to observe it. The Buddha carries the image of reflection in a different direction when he talks about reflecting on your concentration. He says you're trying to get the mind to settle in. You're thinking about the breath, you're evaluating the breath. Is the breath comfortable? Is it not? If it's not comfortable, what can you do to make it more comfortable? When it is comfortable, how do you maintain it? And when you've maintained it, how do you let it spread? Those are good things to think about because they help get the mind more and more snugly associated with its object. And then he says as the mind settles in like that, you step back from it a bit. The image he gives is of a person sitting, reflecting on someone who is lying down. Or a person standing, reflecting on someone who's sitting. You need to be able to observe the mind to understand what's going on in the process of concentration. What are you doing? The first question you have is there still some disturbance here? Because there are levels of concentration. If you see that there's a disturbance, then you try to drop whatever's causing it. The Buddha says usually it's connected to a perception of some kind. There are different ways of perceiving the breath, some of which allow the mind to settle down more fully than others. Thinking of the breath as a whole body process, your whole nervous system is involved. That changes the way you relate to the feelings of breath coming in, breath going out. You don't have to pull it in through the nose. Think of the whole body absorbing the breath from the outside, letting it go out, letting it come in, letting it go out. Hold that perception in mind. Think of your body as being like a big sponge. And the breath can come in and out from all directions, nourishing you, cooling you, like the water filling a sponge. And then watch. When the mind settles down as much as you can get it, be still. Try to maintain that. And whatever comes up in the mind, be alert to it. Because hopefully you've been developing this habit all along of being able to observe what you're doing, why you're doing it, so you can pass judgment on it and do it better. You have to take the attitude of a craftsperson. You're working on a piece of furniture. You're planing the wood. You have to be very careful to watch. Make sure that you don't put any gashes in the wood. You want to make the plane run smoothly. Because you're going to have to learn how to observe the mind. And the most important part is when the mind latches onto something, holds onto something, clings to something. The Buddha says that's suffering. Now, for a lot of us, we cling to things that we want to cling to. I think it's good. So you have to realize that our perceptions are really skewed. In some cases, it's like those bowls of water for the hindrances. In other cases, the defilements go deeper. And it's not the case that you can trust everything that comes up in a concentrated mind. That, too, requires reflection. And John Munn, who's the founder of the tradition that we practice here, meditated a lot in the forest. He tended to have a lot of visions in his meditations. And he realized pretty quickly that if he believed everything in his visions, he was going to go crazy. Sometimes he had visions of the Buddha coming to teach. Sometimes he had visions of devas coming to teach. And he realized that who was coming to teach didn't matter. What mattered was the Dharma they were teaching. And he had to reflect on it. Was it in line with what he already knew of the Dharma? If not, he should let it go. If it was, that still wasn't guaranteed that it was right. He'd have to test it. And of course, to test it meant that he had to be a reliable examiner. That's one of the reasons why we get the mind into concentration, is so you can notice things that are going on. But you also have to be honest. And concentration doesn't automatically make you honest. That training that the Buddha recommended for his son very early on, you recognize a mistake, you go talk it over with someone else. You don't hide it. A lot of us have not learned that lesson. We make a mistake and we hide it. And after hiding it from other people, we start hiding it from ourselves. And we can compartmentalize things pretty quickly. In fact, people who are good at compartmentalizing things tend to be very good at a certain kind of concentration, where they block things out. So just getting the mind still is not enough. Learning to reflect is not enough. It's got to have that quality of honesty as well. Because what you're looking for in the meditation is awakening. And awakening is basically awakening to your own stupidity. You've been doing things that you shouldn't have been doing. You should have known better. Then you finally realize that this is why you're suffering. You like doing them, but they cause what is actually suffering. So you're going to have to change your attitude, change your allegiance inside. That takes a lot of honesty to realize, okay, I've been wrong. This has been a mistake. Not everyone can do that. But you're not concerned with everyone. You're concerned with your own mind, how honest you are. And that's something you can develop with time. Because after all, you realize you may not like to see certain things you've been doing wrong because it's bad for your self-image, but then you have to question yourself. Okay, what is this self-image that you're trying so hard to maintain? Why is it so easily threatened? And part of the way around that is to get a sense of real well-being in the concentration. Put yourself in a better humor so you can look at your mistakes and be a little bit more willing to admit that, yeah, they are mistakes. That's going to be your salvation right there. So it's committing yourself to the practice, reflecting on it. Learn how to honestly commit yourself and honestly reflect. Your own honesty is what guarantees the truth of what you're going to know. As Ajahn Lee likes to say, if you want to know the truth, you have to be true. This is why the Dharma is so special. Only people who are true can know its truth. And if you decide that you're going to be true, you're on the right track.